So we are going to finish our series for the month called The After Effect. And we're talking all month. We've been talking all month about how life changed for the disciples after the resurrection. Because sometimes we don't think about that. You know, we know, wow, he's alive. But then what, right? And we've discussed it in the last few weeks that Jesus appeared to his disciples and other followers multiple times after his resurrection. At one point, he even appeared to more than 500 people who were counted. Probably just the men were counted. So it was probably more than 500. But anyway, more than 500 people at one time after he resurrected. So that's pretty impressive. 500 witnesses at the very least of his life after his death. Even though everybody had seen the way he died and that he had died. That lasted for about 40 days. But the event we're going to talk about today, you've probably read about. It's one of my many, many, many favorite stories in the Bible that's true. And it was the third time that he appeared to his disciples. I think it was the fourth time overall, but the third time to his disciples. And so we're going to look in the book of John, chapter 21, if you're following along in your Bible. John 21. Some of you are already there because you heard the setup. I love that. John 21, 1 through 3. We're going to start with verses 1 through 3. After this, that's a funny thing about the Bible. It doesn't say 6 weeks later. It says after this. So we don't really know how much time had passed. Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. John was the only one who called it the Sea of Tiberias. Most of the authors of the Bible call it the Sea of Galilee. Same place. Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I want to point out a couple things about this just short passage first. Number one, even though Peter had denied Jesus three times at a crucial moment when he said he would never deny him and when he said he would die for him, who's being the leader in this passage? Peter. Yeah. I just love that. That my stupid decision doesn't disqualify me from leadership. If you're a born leader, you're going to lead. And in this case, I think he led into kind of a wandering moment. Because I think even though they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, I think they were like, whoa, what do we do now? What does this mean? I mean, they had to, this was before the Great Commission was given. Keep that in mind. So they're like, I imagine if I put myself in their place, they're like, okay, we know Jesus defeated death. Does that mean he's going to set up his kingdom now? What is that going to look like? And what do we do in the meantime? And so what do you do when you don't know what to do? You usually do what you've always done. Yeah. Peter had been a fisherman long before he met Jesus. And I think in this moment, he was like, I don't know what to do. Might as well go fishing. Maybe somebody was hungry in his life. I don't know. Or maybe he just needed to go fishing to pass the time. It's not like fishing we do today with casting out a rod and easing comfortably back while we wait for the rod to tip. That wasn't that kind of fishing. It was net fishing. So it was work. Where they throw the net over the side and then pull it back in and throw, and they did that all night long because they're wandering. They're like, what do we do now? They're wondering and they're wandering. What do we do now? What's next? What's the next step? But number one, I love that in that moment, Jesus reveals himself in different ways. I love that first verse where it says, he revealed himself in this way. Okay? I love that because if you'll remember, he revealed himself to Mary by calling her name. Mary. And that's when she knew who he was. He revealed himself to the disciples by appearing in a locked room and eating some fish in front of them. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? He revealed himself on the road to Emmaus by explaining scriptures and then breaking bread in front of them. He revealed himself to Thomas by his wounds. Oh. But in this case, he's revealing himself in a different way. So stay tuned to find out how he revealed himself in this situation. But I just love that verse 1 pointed it out. He revealed himself in this way. I'm sure I've told this story before. I know I wrote about it in my book. I think I've told you this story before, but I'll tell it again because I'm feeling prompted to. Many years ago, I went out to Bethel, Redding, California, because I was tired and I was sad. And I just needed some new life breathed into me. Went out by myself, actually, for a conference. And one day I decided to take a picnic up to, I forget the name of that lake, but I loved it. Beautiful lake in the mountains, so beautiful. Whiskey Town Lake, right? Yeah. I should remember that, right? I'm not a drinker, so I wouldn't remember that. Whiskey Town Lake. And I went up there by myself. I stopped at Subway and got a little sub and some chips. And I went up and I just sat down on the side of the river. And I was just soaking in God's presence and in his beautiful nature. I love nature. And all of a sudden, there was not a single breeze that day. There was not, the air was so still. And I look over to this bush that had hundreds and hundreds of leaves on it that were tiny. And one leaf began dancing like this. None of the rest of them did. One leaf. And I'm like, what? I really thought maybe there was a bug on the other side of it. And so I got up and I'm looking really closely and I'm looking behind the leaf and there's nothing. And I'm like, what? What is that? If all of them were moving, I would assume there was a breeze. But one leaf out of hundreds was doing that. And about the time I was like, what? That one stopped moving and a different one across the other part started moving. And I was like, God, I don't know what you're speaking to me, but I feel like you're saying something to me. And in that moment, he said, Sandy, I'm bringing your playful side back. You've lost it from pain and wounds and grief. And I'm bringing back your joyful, playful side. And I was like, it was such a gift, you know? It was such a gift from the Lord to me because I love to have fun and I like to be silly and I love that stuff. I used to scare my kids all the time. I would hide in a closet and jump out and go, bah! And they'd be like, Mom! I have that side and that from my dad. My dad was like that. And I got that from him. But God revealed himself to me with a leaf. So there's no limit to what Jesus can do to reveal himself. Point number two, you need to remember that without Jesus, we can do nothing worthwhile. The boys got together and said, let's go fishing. We don't know what else to do. Let's go fishing. And they fished all night and they caught how many fish? None. Zero. They got skunked, is what they say in the South. If you go fishing and you don't catch a fish, you got skunked. That's what they call it. They call it here? Is that a thing here? Okay. I didn't know. I never know what's from my past or what's from my, you know, current. They caught nothing. And I think there are times when we're wandering and we're like wondering both and we don't know what to do, so we do something. And God in his kindness says, nah, they ain't it. It's like fishermen, you know, if you're out at a lake, I used to fish with my dad and my brothers, and I loved it actually. And my sons, I would fish with my sons sometimes. And we would fish, and if anybody comes up who's getting ready to start fishing and you've been there for a while, they ask you all the time, any luck? Anything? Did you catch anything? And I think that's a twofold thing, you know, like, am I going to have any success today? And also, can I see what you've caught, you know? So Jesus said, children, do you have any fish? Nope. verse 6. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. There's some evidence that suggests that when fishermen like this in this time period would go fishing, they always would cast on the left side of the boat for some reason that I couldn't understand, but it was always on the left side. So when Jesus said, cast on the right side, he was really asking them to go against the norm. Go against the norm of what they always do. I found that interesting. Verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John always called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. Cracks me up. I love it so much. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. I'm going. Some people said, did he walk on the water or did he swim? We don't really know. It doesn't say. We just know he was desperate to get to Jesus in whatever way it was. Doesn't matter how the method he used. He was just wanting to get there. Point number 3, we see in this passage that obedience to Jesus' words brings abundance. Obedience to Jesus' words, if they had not cast their net on the right side of the boat, would they have had this major haul of fish? No. Obedience, there is such a blessing attached to obedience. I feel like obedience has become a dirty word in our society. And it's sad because there's blessing attached to it. And I'm not talking about obeying me. Lord, no, I got enough issues in my life. I don't need that. I'm saying we need to obey Jesus' words. And there is a blessing of abundance that follows that. And it might not be fish, because I don't know what I'm going to do with that many fish. I mean, I eat them, but not that much, you know. And I definitely don't want to clean them. Mm-mm, I'd be calling Max, come clean these fish. But sometimes the abundance is just great peace. When you do what he says to do, there is so much peace that it doesn't even make sense, the Bible says. Peace beyond understanding. I call it ridiculous peace. Like, it doesn't make sense, but it's peace. Deep inside. Deep inside. Maybe it's joy. Like you haven't experienced in a while. When God tells you to do something and you do it, there is such joy that follows. There is healing. There is hope. Abundance can be defined anyway. Anyway. Point number 4, obedience to Jesus' words brings revelation. Because of this obedience, John had a deja vu moment. Hey, wait, we've been here before. Wonder if that's Jesus over there. Because he said this before, and this happened again, and I think it's the Lord. Sometimes if we just obey, trusting that it's the Lord, the obedience brings an understanding of who God is in a new way. It just does. And we're like, well, prove it first and then I'll obey. Sometimes God wants us in faith to obey first. And then he'll reveal what he wants to reveal. Verses 8 through 11. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire, hallelujah, in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Point number 5, Jesus brings fullness. He doesn't just bring abundance, he brings fullness. He brings fullness. I love that our Creator, Jesus, the one who spoke the world into existence, right? What is he doing? He's squatting over a charcoal fire, cooking up some organic fish and bread. Because there was no such thing as GMO then, so everything was organic. That's right. Yeah. Like, over an open fire. And I don't know about you. Has anybody in the room ever had fresh fish for breakfast over an open fire? Anybody? Ah, here? I never have had fish. I've had other stuff, but never. I think it would taste better because everything eaten outside tastes better. I mean, you can eat almost anything outside, right? But I love that Jesus is shown here that he's brought his own fish and bread. We don't know where it came from. Did he speak it into existence? Did he stop at the corner store and buy some on the way? We don't know. We just know he already had fish and bread waiting for them when they came off the boat. Oh, I love that imagery so much. But even though he had all the fish and bread he needed, he said, hey, Peter, bring some of yours. Because Jesus loves to partner with us. He loves when we bring our best to him, and then he provides his best for us. And somewhere in that process, there is a miracle that takes place. There's a lot of reasons, and I've talked about them before. I'm not going to go into it too much, that the number 153 is listed. And there's a whole lot of debate about it, so I don't have an answer for you. I know the Bible doesn't give a number without a reason, but sometimes Jesus wants us to search out the mystery of it. So there's some reasons that it could be 153. There's speculation that that was the number of languages or nations on the earth at that time, which is an interesting thought. There's other explanations. At the very least, though, I believe this is foreshadowing of the large influx of believers from many nations that are going to come on day of Pentecost. That's what I think. But, you know, it could be more than that. But regardless of what the reason is for 153 fish, what we need to remember is the net didn't tear. It should have. It didn't. So with fullness also comes the safety of an untorn net, which I appreciate quite a bit. Okay, verses 12 through 14. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Oh, I love that so much. I love breakfast anyway, but Jesus inviting me to breakfast that he has cooked for me? Y'all, that is next level. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed to the disciples after he was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Point number six. Following Jesus, this is a biggie, biggie, biggie. Following Jesus includes breakfast with him. I don't mean literally, although... sure, why not? I mean, we need moments with the Lord that are casual and not formal. We need moments with the Lord where we're just sitting down to a meal together, maybe literally and maybe symbolically. We need moments built into our lives that are not Sunday morning moments. I love Sunday morning moments. I'm the pastor. Of course I do. But I treasure my one-on-one casual moments with the Lord. When it's just me and him, and he tells me, look up how chocolate is made, because you're going to need that this week. I'm like, what? That's what I spoke about at the homeless shelter on Friday when I was there. What? See, those moments where you can sit down around an open fire and just chat with the Lord, and you can hear what he has to say, and you can speak to him your heart, and it doesn't have to be, oh, la, la, la. It doesn't have to be that. It can be friendship. And I think the biggest challenge of anybody who's in what I would call ministry is making sure we do number six more than we do any other thing. Because then when we minister from the overflow. You too, whether you're in ministry or not, if you spend time eating breakfast with Jesus, when that coworker needs a prayer from you, you are ready and on the spot because you're filled up with him. It's what we need. We need breakfast with Jesus. Oh, how I long for Jesus to reveal himself to me. Every day, I want to know him more and more. Every day, I tell the Lord, like, I want to know you more. I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice. I want to understand your kingdom and how it works. Deeper and deeper and more, I want him to call my name like he did with Mary. I want to hear that. Sandy, I want to hear that. I want him to show up in unexpected places. Let's not relegate Jesus to this room. Let him into the locked door places. I want him to explain the scriptures to me. I want to see his wounds, but I also want to have breakfast with him regularly. Somebody said there's no lordship without fellowship. That's kind of a spiritual way to say it, you know, a Christianese way to say it. The point is, how can I allow Jesus to lead my life when I don't even know who he is? And the knowing comes more in the breakfast. That's where the knowing comes in my opinion. But in all the ways Jesus revealed himself to them in the 40 days following the resurrection, I think he was showing them that they needed him in all the areas of their lives. They needed him. But even after all these appearances, they still haven't been given the mission. What were they supposed to do? I'm that person. Sometimes I get a little fixated on, breakfast is nice, what are we supposed to do? Just tell me what to do and I'll do it, right? So he gave them the mission in Luke 24, 45 through 49. He gave them the mission. I read this last, or a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, but I want to reread it. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed to his name in all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. There's the mission. You are supposed to tell people who I am and what I've done, and that there is repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and that his name can be lifted high. And then he goes on to say, verse 49, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city. Stay where? In the city where they've been hunted down by Roman soldiers. Stay in the city. Don't go hide out in the cave. Stay in the city. That is fascinating to me. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The last point is wait for God's power to begin the mission. And I don't think the mission is, what is God's will for my life? I think the mission is witnessing to whoever God brings across your path. Telling them why you have hope. Telling them why, what your faith means. That's what it is. But don't attempt to do that in your own power. Don't attempt to do that in your own strength, because it's too hard. Wait until he gives you the power to do so. So Jesus reveals himself in different ways. Without Jesus, we can do nothing worthwhile. Obedience to Jesus' words brings abundance. Obedience to Jesus' words brings revelation. Jesus brings fullness. Following Jesus includes breakfast with him. Wait for God's power to begin the mission. I'm going to ask the ushers to serve communion at this time. We're going to have family communion. All are welcome to participate if you would like, but there's no pressure to if you would prefer not to. I think I just want to sing again. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. we exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh Lord, you are worthy. You worship today, I felt like I was in awe of the fact that the manger little baby Jesus was in invites us closer. All the miracles that Jesus did invites us closer. His embracing of notorious sinners invites us closer. His death, the cross, invites us closer. His resurrection invites us closer. His willingness to cook a campfire breakfast of fish and bread on the beach invites us closer. Everything God has done is an invitation for us to come closer. And when I pick up this cracker and I know that it represents the body of Jesus that was broken so that I could be made whole, I don't turn away. I come closer. I come closer to him. So Jesus, we ask you to reveal yourself to every individual here in whatever way you choose. God, we remember the price you paid so that we could be whole, so that we're not tormented in our mind, so that we're not broken in our bodies or in our hearts. You paid a price so that we could be made whole, all of us whole. And so we remember and we say thank you in this moment. And we take the bread together. Jesus, we remember that you are willing to shed your blood so that there's no barrier between you and us. There's nothing that's pushing us away. There is only an invitation for us to come closer. God, we thank you for this juice. We thank you for the blood that was shed so that we could be free, that we could wear a robe of righteousness. Thank you for that. So that we could be in fellowship with you and enjoy breakfast on the beach with you. So that we can have that kind of connection with you, a friendship. Thank you for that. Bless this juice as we drink it together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every time we take communion as a family, I'm always reminded. I don't know. That's the whole point of it, isn't it? To remind us of what Jesus did for us. So I'm thankful. Very thankful. If you didn't notice, you might I don't know if there's any flyers out or not, but it's Next Gen Sunday. When it's the last Sunday of every month, we call it Next Gen Sunday, and that's where we ask everyone to donate 1 hour of their labor funds per month to go to our youth and children's ministry. I want to call out Heather. Is she in here? No. Heather came to me last week and goes, we have two babies here today. I think we need a nursery. And I'm like, oh, okay. So on her own this week, she went shopping on Facebook Marketplace for a new changing table and a new little chair, an activity chair. Oh, there's Heather. Thank you, Heather. And set up a rug and something for the wall. So we have a new nursery. So if you have a baby, there's a spot. If you need it, it's there. We're not pushing you there. We're saying it's there if you need it. Okay, I want to pray over the offering. God, I thank you for the ones who understand your kingdom and who trust you with their finances. What a beautiful thing that we are invited to give you the first 10% of our income as a way to demonstrate to you that we trust you with our lives. We trust you with our labor. We trust you with all of it. And so I pray a blessing over it. I pray that you would multiply it for your purposes. God, I ask you to do miracles among us in the financial realm. Do miracles among us, I pray. That people who are stepping out in faith, that you would make yourself so obvious to them. That you are the source of our provision. Our own labor is not the source of our provision. You are the source of our provision. And we thank you for that, and we ask you to give us wisdom as a leadership team on how to best utilize it for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Next week, a new theme for the month called Inside the Kingdom. And Ron's going to kick it off with a message he's calling Doorstop. Because I'm heading south, y'all. I get to go visit my family. I'll leave tomorrow morning about 4 a.m. probably and drive about 10 hours and I'll worship the whole way. This is what I do. I won't stop, but probably once. That's usually what I do. I'm kind of nuts that way. I get on a mission. I'm like, ugh, we're going, right? So pray for me as I'm going down for safety and that God will really speak to me as I'm driving. He always does. And I'm thankful for Ron, who's going to step up and share the message next week. Inside the Kingdom Doorstop. It's going to be good. I know it. So hope you stay for chats and coffee and bagels and fruit and cheese sticks and puzzles and whatever else you want to do out there that's safe. Have a good week, and I'll miss you.